accepted you haven't come with your heart. So I will put a comma this series tonight so that that will be from next week. So because you are running on what you do to God's word, each one of them is what I can teach as a series. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating the Bible, and confessing God's word. Those are the things you do to God's word. And lastly, you do the word of God. Since you're able to do the word of God. So you read, you study, you confess so that you can do it. And that is the stepwise approach to the word of God. You read it, you study it, you meditate. If you don't read, you can't study. There's nobody that carries the Bible and says, I want to begin to study. They don't understand, you're wasting your time. So the least attitude you can develop, you know, towards God's word is to do what? Is to read it. That's the least. If you are not doing anything at all, make sure you are reading the Bible. So if you are not reading the Bible, then one book in question mark, you know, to your faith, you know, in God's word. So the least you can do, say to your neighbor, the least you can do to God's word is to read it. That's the least you can do. You know, so you read the word of God. You know, I said on Sunday, the Bible says, until I come, give attendance to reading. And that translation says, until I come, give attendance to public reading of God's word. So it's good when we come like this and say, let's read together the Bible. You know, and then we read together the Bible. So I've spoken about reading, and I've spoken to you how you can read. So reading God's word too requires some strategy. There's a way you read it. You know, if you are a believer, a new convert, for example, and you want to begin to read the Bible from Genesis, you will never finish reading the Bible. You will never finish reading the Bible because you'll be bored. And so I always say that if you are just reading the Bible, you start reading the Bible, you know, from John. What's this scenario? Start reading the Bible from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, like I said to us the other time. When you begin to read from the book of John, you begin to see the spiritual aspect of Jesus Christ, you know, and then you move on to the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts is actually the part of the Bible that makes you to see and know the church. You know, how church was founded, the operations of the church, you know, the activities of the church. Actually, I say this. How you get it? It's just for you to take away, you know. If you don't understand, don't mind, you know that somebody has said it to you before. The truth of the matter is this. You cannot build a principle from scriptures if you did not see the book of Acts. You know, the things that people teach, the things people talk about the church, everything is there in the book of Acts. And so, if somebody is trying to bring out a principle of church life, and you can't establish it in the book of Acts, you have to be weary. You have to be weary, you know. And that's why it's good for a Christian to start reading from John, then you proceed to the book of Acts, you know.
About communion.
You know, they say that it is religion that restricts communion to church. You know, you can see the book of Acts that you go from house to house, sharing.
So when you see
that you go from house to house, you know, doing communion, you will say that is strange. When you see somebody says to you that it's only in church you can do communion, say no. Where we see the church began, you know, where we read the church started, we see that, you know, they were doing from house to house. When somebody says to you that it's not compulsory that the Christian should speak in tongues, you say no. In the book of Acts, we see that the church spoke in tongues. Do you know that? You know, so that is why anything you don't see done in the book of Acts, be careful. Do you understand? I'm not saying just straight away, but be careful. You know, especially speaking.
born again, you know, they are born again, but they don't speak in tongues, and they tell you that it's not compulsory. And I say, where do you see that? The beginning of the church, actually the birth of the church, started by speaking in the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2. That was the first thing that marked out believers. That was the first evangelism. Speaking in tongues was the first evangelism of the church. Because the Bible says that everybody was gathering because they heard them speaking their own language. And so, the speaking in tongues gathered people. Let me put it in another way. You know, supernatural manifestation, you know, would draw people to Christ. People wouldn't have listened. People would have just, you know, they continue minding their own business. But when they had, you know, a lot of languages up, the Bible says they gathered. They understand, they say, ah, they're speaking in our language. This is Italian. This is German. This is, you know, and the other one we go and call some other people. These people we know, they didn't learn this language. The other person will go and get, because how do you think that he preached? And in the first instance, you have 3,000 lives, give their life to Christ. They didn't share hand be. They didn't do be bored. It was that supernatural manifestation that gathered crowd. And since supernatural does not make people to be born again, but supernatural prepare people to be born again. Because it was after that, then Peter stood up and preached. And they said, men, you know, and women, what shall we do? Because they were torn in their hearts. You know, supernatural gathered them. And then the word was preached. Do you know something? You know, how do I finish this thing tonight? And I want to finish it tonight. I must finish it tonight. Or I stop. Wherever. You go and see the charge that Jesus gave to the apostles. You know what God always says, that you preach the word, you heal. Go and read it very well. The first thing God put in the scripture is that heal the sick, preach the gospel. Go back and see it. Yeah, that's where it's written. He said the first thing they must do is the miraculous. You know why? Because he know that the supernatural will draw people. Then you will preach. They will be born again. But you see, believers become lazy. You preach and preach and preach, and then you want to now pray for the sick. You know, you can come on the Sunday morning. The title of my sermon is Jesus. The sick, can you rise and you pray for the sick and you get it? When that is done, ladies and gentlemen, anything you are saying about Jesus, you know, they will grab it like this. What I'm saying to you came from reading the Bible. I didn't study. Just reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible. And that's why I said, the least, if I want to say least injury, you can do, you know, to God's word is to read it. It's like, I want to enjoy the Bible. Do you understand? The worst you can do is to read it. And don't forget what I said to you last week. You don't read on your phone. You don't read Bible on your phone. You read Bible. Or in inside Bible. That's when you're reading. That's when you're reading. That's when actually you can begin to enjoy reading. And that's why you see my Bibles, you know, they're underlined. You know, sometimes I will draw a line like this. You know, in my Bible, sometimes I will draw one line from one angle. That is, if you go and touch that's the way to read the Bible. That's the way to read it, to enjoy it. Praise God. So that's the first thing you do to the Bible, like I said to us last week. You know, and then you can read systematically. You want to read from, you know, John, and then you read like that. Some of us have been reading the Bible for a while. You can just say, okay, I want to read the letters, you know, of Paul. And then you just go and read the letters of Paul. You can say, I want to read the letters of Peter. You are just reading. Because the Bible says, until I come, give attendance, you know, to read it. So, it is heavy
you know to read.
When you are reading, actually what you are doing is, it is like you taking a pocket, you know, you are cleaning your system. That's what reading does. Reading will begin to make you to have a rethink towards some beliefs that you hold, some attitudes that you have, you know, the way you see life, the way you see certain aspects of life. Reading alone will make you to just begin to do that. You haven't started a study, you are just reading. You understand? It's a system cleansing attitude when you have a habit of reading it. Because you see, gradually you begin to look like what you read on a daily basis. Gradually. It will not go to happen in a day, but gradually you begin to look like the person you are looking at, you know, on a daily basis. You begin to talk, you begin to dress, you begin to respond, you know, like the person you look at on a daily basis. And last week I said again to Ross, the next step after reading is to study. You know, you started reading the Bible, then gradually to study, you know, the Bible. And I rounded up by telling us the ways you can, or how you can study the Bible. And that's why I said to Ross, okay, so if you have a hard copy, then you can download various translations, you know, on your phone. But the way to study the Bible is that you will have the baseline Bible that you use. And I say to people, the baseline Bible to use any day, any time is KJV. They understand that. Even with askers and maidens and speakers. They understand that. That is the bottom line. If you want an improvement, you can do modern KJV. I say modern KJV, they reduce askers and movements from it. You understand? You know, because you see, it is generally believed that it's KJV that is still the closest to the original translation of the Bible. So I always say, I've read a version of the Bible before, and it's turned upside down, the original translation. It's taking away the, you know, they come up with all kind of reader-friendly, you know, versions. You know, so if you don't understand the original version, you'll be confused with the original version. Or, let me tell you another thing. My own experience. When you read KJV, it makes you to think more. You know, when the modern translation of the Bible, you know, all those things, they just write to you like KJV English. It takes away your thinking. They understand that. So when I said to Ross that in studying, get other translations of the scriptures. Number two, in studying, I said to Ross that you can study either a book, you can study a subject, you can study a topic. You understand? Subject is character, you know. For example, I want to study Ruth. So you go read Ruth, and then you go to the Bible, every other place that you see Ruth. You understand? You read. You can say, I want to study Joseph. You know, I've taught Joseph before in the main church. You know, and so you read through the Bible wherever you have Joseph. Or say, I want to study Moses. I've taught Moses before. You know, so you can study. So we call them character. Study a character, the Bible. And in studying a character, you find out that you bless your life. You can see, for example, Moses. The Bible called him the meekest man, isn't it? That at the same time, he couldn't enter the promised land because of anger. So you'll be wondering, God, explain the meekest and couldn't enter. You understand that? You know, the Bible says, David, a man after God's heart, but at the same time, it's this man that will commit sin over and over again. You know, so in studying those characters, you'll be able to see some attributes in their lives that endear them to God. And then you want to pray. or you want to learn, you know, convert those kind of attributes that you see in their life. So that's studying character. That's how it can help you. And I actually encourage that you study character. Character, when you study, is like biography. You know, it's like you are reading the biography of a person. That's what studying character does. You read about their lives. You read about David. And so you see David from Genesis to Revelation. You know, and then you see what made them to offend God. You see what made them to appease God. You see aspects of their lives. You know, the way they talk, the way they approach issues. That will help you. Sometimes you say, I don't want to study a character, but I want to study a book. And so you want to say, I want to study the Lord is my shepherd. For example, I want to study Psalm 23. And then you sit down to study. When you're studying, it's about you go from a verse to another verse. So studying is more time consuming than reading. Because study is study, isn't it? If you don't study, you can't pass an exam. If you just read your book, you are going to fail that exam. But when you're studying, you are giving more attention. When you study, you know that when you close your eyes like this, you can know the side of your book where that thing is. You know? Have you studied to that extent? You know? You will know. Anyone come? You know, it's because why? You're taking time to study your book over and over again. So you can study character, you can study book, you know, and you can actually study objects in the Bible. That's another level of study. You know, you want to study water. You want to study fire. They understand that. And so you go through the Bible, you want to see where stones are mentioned, or where fire, water are mentioned. So when they talk about water, what is he talking about? So you can tie it together. Okay, water is talking about the spirit. It's talking about refreshing. You know? So that's that area, or another how that you can study. And then again, study subjects. I want to study faith.
You know?
So say, I want to study faith. And so, when you want to study subjects or objects, anyone in the Bible, that one is, you know, just carry a chain, reference Bible, you know, and then all our tablets are made in bank. Big faith. And then everything comes out. And then you will go from every chapter and verse of the Bible where faith is written. And so you find that at the end of the day, you'd have learned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things about faith. When you study topics like that, that is when you begin actually to strengthen your knowledge of God. For example, when you know what faith is, when you know what, you know, long-suffering is, that's what makes you to begin to grow actually as a believer. That's what makes you to begin to grow as a believer. Actually, I will recommend that every believer must have an attitude or have a philosophy of studying topical issues in the Bible. Faith, for example, peace, joy, you know, in the Bible. You find out that that's what begins to build you as a believer.
most of the time we all fail because we don't understand these ingredients. We just hear them. If I say define faith now, your definition of faith is what I say faith is. But you see, when you study those subjects, you can define faith using your own word. It will be a product of your study. It's not going to be the pastor defined faith as. And so, having read a lot about faith, studying a lot about faith, I can give you about 5-6 definitions of faith. And it's talking about the same thing. In other words, they are products of my own study. So, you must be able to take things out from the Bible, product of your own study. That's when you actually begin to understand the scriptures. You can't understand the scriptures if you don't study the scripture. It was last week I was saying to Ross that the essence of reading, the essence of studying, the essence of meditating, the essence, you know, of doing, confessing, doing the word of God is what? If somebody wants to remind me, is to find God. Thank you very much. It's not even to understand the Bible. It's not even to have revelation. The essence of looking into the word of God is to discover God. That's the essence. You don't study the Bible. I don't read the Bible so that I can cram it or I can quote it. You know, you have a lot of people that can quote the scriptures, but they don't understand God. And we have people that they can't quote nothing. But when they are talking the Bible, they are talking God. Do you understand that? They are making you to get in contact with God. So, the ultimate of handling the word of God is so that you can discover God. That's the ultimate. So, when you carry the Bible in the morning and say, Lord, let me discover you. Let me get in contact with you. That's the essence. And so you read, you study. So the next, you meditate. So what the Bible says in the book of Joshua chapter 1, this book of the Lord, verse 8, shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, day and night. You shall meditate therein day and night. You shall meditate therein day and night. Shall meditate, 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 meditate therein, therein, day and night. That I'm doing, I've started meditating on God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave his only begotten, his only begotten, his only begotten. That he gave his only begotten, not that he received, but he gave his only begotten. He did not give an angel, he gave his only begotten. Meditation is a process of regurgitation. Ruminate. You chew. You swallow. You bring it out. You chew. You swallow. You bring it out. You know. You think. You ponder. You repeat. You stay on a phrase, a clause, a sentence. You go over it again, again. You go over it, looking at it, you go over it in your head. That is meditation. I don't know how to explain it better. That is meditation. So in other words, you say la. You can sit like this, get a verse, you know, then Joshua commanded. That is the process, actually, of God's word jumping at you. Do you understand that? I'm not on two verses. As a matter of fact, I'm on half of a verse. For God so love. For God love. No. For God so love. Do you understand? For God so love. God love. God so love. So love is an emphasis on love. Do you understand? That he gave. So love give. Love give. So love will always give. Do you understand that? That he gave. Gave is only begotten. Do you understand that? So in meditation, you are going forward and backward. You stay on a word, on a sentence, you know. And that's why here, you know, the Bible was saying to him, you meditate day and night. So if you understood meditation, you find out that you can meditate day and night. If you understood what I've just said now, you can do it day and night. You know that you can be meditating and praying the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? You know, because I stay on it, and I continue to look into it. I repeat, by stripes I was healed. By his stripes I am healed. No. By stripes I was healed. By stripe I will be healed. No, it's written, by stripe I was healed. By stripes I was healed. I don't know whether you stay on the scripture before and then suddenly you shout. You saw something that you never seen before. Process of meditation makes you to see what you never seen before. It's a step higher than study. It's a process of staying and consider. You know, the Bible talks about Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, you know, was saying that he considered not. Do you understand that? Now, look at me. When the Bible was talking about that, the Bible mentioned certain aspects of Abraham's life. Probably we read it. So let's say la, you know, and read Romans chapter 4. So you can get this point I want to bring out. Romans 4. And God said concerning Abraham, Romans chapter 4, and being not weak, okay, verse 17, as it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against all believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. Now, seeing the scriptures, the Bible says, his own body dead. Then deadness of Sarah's womb. So verse 19 actually spoke about two happenstances. It talks about two facts. Are you here tonight? He is talk about two different facts. The first fact is body, now dead. That's a fact from that verse. The second fact, deadness of Sarah's womb. So those are two facts that God himself recognized. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Abraham considered not. So Abraham did not lie. Abraham did not argue that he was old. Abraham did not argue that Sarah's womb was dead. Do you understand that? But what Abraham did that we don't do is that he did not reckon with those two facts. He did not reckon. He did not consider them. They are there. Do you understand? And that way, I can put it, is isojunu. Those two things are there. Like we normally do, when we see those facts, we make them the truth. But scriptures make us to know that facts and truths are not the same. A believer must understand that. A fact does not mean that that is the truth. Because truth is judged by a baseline. Did you get me tonight? When you say something is the truth, it's against a background. Truth does not exist like it's the truth. Otherwise, somebody will say what is the truth today will be falsehood tomorrow. If truth exists, truth is always proven against a background. And for believers, this is the truth. This is unbroken. Because you remember I said to her last week or 2 weeks ago that God's word has been tried. When you experience it, it's not that time you say, otoro ni ololorun lagbara. If you did not taste it, ololorun lagbara otoro ni. Iwo lo mo wahala to fi taste it. God himself has tried his word and is proven it and is the truth. He's proven it to the extent that he himself subject himself to that word. That is the level of the treason. That is the level of the provenness that he himself now come under that word. Praise God. So said he consider not. He consider not. He stagger not at the promise of God from Eve. But see here. But was strong in faith. So, it's a choice. He had a choice to consider. He had a choice not to consider. But he chose not to consider. So, he now considered something else. The promises of God. And so he was giving thanks. Even in the face of facts that are against the promises. Meditating God's word, on God's word means you choose to consider the word of God. That's meditation. I consider it. I think about it. So meditation means you are thinking about it. You are ruminating about it. You are saying it. And so, listen now. There's no way you meditate on God's word that you not say God's word. So that's what I'm saying. It's about you read, you study. I can study and not talk. And that's why I say that it's a step higher than studying. And so you get to the level of you are meditating. I've just given you an example. When I was meditating, you were hearing what I was saying. So you can't meditate and not talk. So you say, you keep quiet a bit because you want to process it, you know, and then you repeat it again, and then you continue to say it. That is when the word jumps at you. You know, when the Bible was saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word comes from meditation. That is the level at which studying or reading or carrying Bible is most difficult. You know, like I always say to people, I just want to say it like I've seen it, you know, for emphasis. You know, it's easier to pray. You don't know. It's easier to pray than sitting down with the Bible. One of the things that begin to reveal to you that you are an impatient believer is when it gets to the level of studying and meditating on God's word. Who was delivered for offenses? Who was delivered from offenses? What's up, Ben? Look, your phone notified. Okay. Who was delivered for offenses and was raised again for justification? Kitchen, Lord, Lord, you are going to the kitchen. You are going to put rice on fire. You know, you are smiling. I'm catching some of you now. You understand? But you know that all those things you are doing can be praying. But you can't do that to God's word. You can't do that to God's word. Studying tries your patience. It reveals to you that you are an impatient person. It reveals to you that you cannot sit on the same spot. It reveals your character to you. Meditating on God's word. You see, and that is why we begin to get differences in the life of a believer. You see, what we experience is a product of how well we stay with God's word. When somebody said, I have a testimony, something happened to me, it's a product. Because, you know, let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. I mentioned this last week. Because, you know, you see full colon. I've spoken to us about when you see full colon. According to all that is written there, then you see full colon. For then. Say to your neighbor, for then. In other words, the consequence of staying with God's word is you will. You will. Not God. You will. So, in meditation, you sit with that. You will. You will. Not God will. Then you begin to have some level of understanding or revelation. Oh, so prosperity of my life or my destiny is in my hand. You will. You will. You will. You will. You will. So it's about me. Even it's not about God. You know, it's not even about a witch. You know, most of us, we blame witches and wizards. You know, and the enemy of our father's house, you know, on our failure. When you begin to get to a point like this, you now begin to see that you begin to talk to your religious mind. Oh, so you will make your way, your own way, prosperous. Then you begin to say, so it's not about my father's family's enemy. Then you begin to see that it's not about, you know, the somebody that has caused me. You know, sometimes I say, want to be me shake, want to be me shake, you will. you will. Do you understand that? You find out that you begin to do away with some of those stupid beliefs that we carry from our CAC churches and Anglican churches, and from our religious minds. When you begin to stay studying God's word, praise God, you will. You will. Oh, so it's about me. So it's about me. It's not about somebody else. It's about me. Praise God. That is what meditation will begin, to do to us. And so you read. And so you study. And so you meditate. The next thing you do to God's word, that comes from meditation, is you say it. Do you understand that? You say it. Now, let me say something to you very briefly. Because confessing God's word, like I said, I can do a whole sermon on it. I've actually taught on homologio. Do you understand? A series. Saying what God has said. That's homologio. Now, but I want you to get this. Just some few points I made tonight. Number one, that I'm going to make. You cannot say what you don't believe. Do you see that? And that is where the problem is with many of us that don't confess God's word. You don't believe it. So that's why you are not saying it. If you believed it, you will say it. Now, belief comes from meditation. You understand? By the stripes, I was healed. By the stripes, I was healed. When you say that 200 times, 300 times, do you understand? You begin to do something. To your brain, then it will go to your mind. Do you see that? The moment that it clicks, you can boldly say, by stripes, I was healed. So, the first thing is when you see people talk about God's word, it's a product of their faith. In other words, they believe in that thing. And that's why they are saying it. A lot of what we say, all kind of things about Nigeria. Pastor, Omine, for you to say it, you believe it. So, that's the first thing that confession does. Confessing means you are saying what God has said. That's the second point. You don't understand? So, because sometimes you think confession is just saying things. Confession is not just saying things. Confession is saying what God has said. In other words, when I confess God's word, what I'm saying is I'm aligning myself to what God has said. I'm aligning. I'm agreeing with what God has said. That is confession. So, sometimes we just say things. Say, I reject it in Jesus' name. I reject it in Jesus' name. That is not confession. That's what you are speaking. You understand that? I want you to separate just saying some nice words, some nice cliches. Separate it from confessing God's word. Sometimes we just say certain things, some good things. What are the other Christiany things? It is well. It is well. It is well. Do you understand? So we just say it is well. Even it is well is in the Bible. Do you understand? But some of us it's become a cliche. You understand that? It looks like your head is high is red. I reject it in Jesus' name. I reject it in Jesus' name. Those are the cliche. But confession is that word confession came from the word homologio. The word homologio means saying what God has said. That's the meaning of homologio. That's confession. What God has said, I'm saying it. So it's not my word, it's what God has said. And when I'm saying what God has said, it's bound to come to pass because it's not my word. You know what the Bible says here in Joshua chapter 1? The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This book of the law, not your own word, not your own book. This book, you know, it was like, it was saying to him, you know, Moses commissioning Joshua. Do you understand that? Moses commissioning Joshua. He was handing over the law unto him. And say, Joshua, me, I'm going. You are coming in my stead. The way of success is very easy. This book of the law must not depart out of your mouth. No matter how busy you become, no matter how turbulent the journey might be, no matter the number of enemies that you gather, no matter the people that love you or the people that hate you, look, the book of the law must not depart from your mouth. In other words, on a daily basis, you must be saying, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. That's, you know, it's not departing from your mouth. What God has said does not depart from your mouth. What God has said does not depart from your mouth. The word of God said, by stripes I was healed, is not going to depart from my mouth. Even when I have fever, when my eyes are red, when my BP is not okay, do you understand? I consider not. Hello? So I consider, thus saith the Lord, by the stripes of the Lord, I was healed. Oh, they push me. I need to use drug. I consider not the fact that I'm using drug. Thus saith the Bible, by a stripe, I was healed. The cattle, I have need, I don't have money. Yes, it's a fact, I don't have money. But I consider not the emptiness of my bank account, thus saith the Lord. The cattle on 1,000 hill belongs to the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the cattle on 1,000 hill belongs to the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the cattle on 1,000 hill, because the word will not depart. Even though there are situations that want me to say something else. There are situations that want me to pick some other form of confession, but no, because it is written. This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. If I want success, oh, this book of the law. And so, I will not say what my situation is saying. I will say, thus saith the Lord. Because the book of the Lord is filled with thus saith the Lord. Let me say one more thing before I will say the last point. Hebrews 10. So let me get you to see that. So you won't say that pastor just said, hey, I don't know. So Hebrews 10, I want to show you something. Hebrews 10. Oh, no, I read two places in the Bible so that, you know, without doubt, you will fall in line. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. You're looking for Hebrews. Hebrews is before Matthew. Hebrews 10, verse 23. See what the Bible says. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Is anybody carrying the Bible? And your Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Is any Bible reading confession of our faith? Yours is reading confession of our faith. Mine is reading the profession of our faith. Is that okay? Good. Now, let's go back to that place I read on Sunday, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where I talk about an attribute of is a believer. Don't forget that place we read. I want to join into this place I'm going to read. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse. Oh, okay, sorry. I'm forced. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Who is he talking to? A workman. Do you understand? So in other words, let me read it this way so that probably you get it. Workman, study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, I haven't done any injury to that scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Blah, 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 blah. I can read it this way. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Now look at me. The same word, original word, translated profession, is translated confession. And some of you have testified to it. In some Bible, it's confession. In some Bible, it's profession. Now, the Bible is talking about a workman here. Let me use it in a way that is better. Some translation will say a worker. Do you understand? So, if I want to use a modern translation. So, don't use workman, say a worker. Now, does it interest you that the Bible is saying that a worker must study? I thought a worker must go and carry an axe and go to farm. I thought a worker should go and begin to dig a hole. You know, a worker should be a doctor, should be a pharmacist, should be an engineer. You know what the Bible is talking about a worker? The definition of a worker is somebody that is studying himself to be approved of God. Listen, this statement. The profession of a Christian is confession of God's word. The profession of a believer is confession of God's word. In other words, all your life as a Christian, what God has given you as an assignment is confessing God's word. Because the Bible says a worker, rightly divide. So the work of a worker is confession of God's word. That's what your life is about as a believer. If you haven't understood that, understand tonight. The life of a Christian is not about any other thing we are doing. The life of a Christian is confession of God's word. And that is why Christian faith is a talking faith. You don't see a Christian that is effective and his mouth is closed. When God created, God saw all that I created was without form. He said, let there be. He saw the first thing happen. He said, second day, let there be. Third, let there be. After the seventh day, what did the Bible say? Eh? Eh? Me ogbo. Eh? The Bible says, and he rested. So that means that thus let there be is his work. That's why after seventh day, the Bible says God rested. God was not shown gegini, shown lapakoni, shown consulting ni hospital. He was confessing. He was confessing. He was confessing. He was confessing. And he rested. That is the work that you have as a Christian. And I round up tonight. I take it up, you know, another time. When you confess the word of God, confession releases a force that makes you to be a doer of the word of God. When you say it enough, you begin to do what? You begin to do it. As a matter of fact, effectiveness in a Christian work with God It's a product of our confession of the word of God. Because you say it enough that you begin to do it. There's no way you say, by stripe or zid, by stripe or zid, by stripe or zid. You said it for 3,000 times. And then you will not get up from wheelchair. It's going to happen. The force of that word. You know, says that God is active. Do you understand? You have gotten out of the wheelchair before you know that you're in the wheelchair. Because the force in the word that is being released at confession. Do you understand that we be put to use in your life? It's the same force that brought Jesus from the grave. And that's why I say the same power that is released from the word of God, we quicken, you know, your mortal body. So let's change our attitude towards God's word. I'm going to put some comma, you know, and then I will revisit this another time. You read, you study, you meditate, you say, and you do. When you follow those steps, you will have results on a daily basis on word of God. You don't need to come to me, Pastor, pray for me. You don't need to go and see a prophet. You don't need to see anybody. They understand that God's word will deliver you. God's word will put food on your table. God's word will put money in your accounts. God's word will provide you a job. God's word will provide you a family. God's word will revolutionize your life. And God's word, at the end of the day, will make you to meet Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, can we rise to your feet? Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And just make up your mind to change your attitude towards God's word. Be a doer. Be a reader. Be a student of God's word. Just shake yourself a bit and say, Father, I want to change my attitude. And as you have said that, now make a promise and say, Lord, I want to read 2 chapters every day. I've given us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to read. I don't know how well you're doing about that. But you can just say it again, Lord, help me. I want to read 5 chapters. I want to read 2 chapters. And then say, I want to study, you know, a topic I want to study, you know, a subject I want to study, you know, a topic, one topic in a month. Do you understand that? So, just say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because, see, this is where faith starts from. And that's why I took time since we started this church. So, 3 months, I've taught us on the word, your life. You know, I talk about mind renewal. That's when I got into this. This is the only way your mind can be renewed. This is the only way your mind can be born again. This is the only, there's no other way. Your mind is not going to be born again by praying. Your mind will be born again through God's word. That's why your mind will be born again. Taking the engrafted word of God is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. And may the grace of the Lord be with your spirit. See you next service. God bless you all.